It's Border Crossings with Larry London from VOA 1.
Hi, I'm Larry London, and I welcome you to Border Crossings. For today's show, we've got two great guests joining us on the program, Michelle Malone and Risa Binder. Both of these artists are not only very talented singers, but songwriters as well, and they are both on tour for their latest project, and they are here in our studios to perform some new music and to tell us a little bit about themselves and about their upcoming albums. So hang around with us for the next hour. Our special Border Crossings program brings you Michelle Malone and Risa Binder next, right here on Border Crossings on the VOA 1 Music Network. Hi, this is Larry London. We welcome you to Border Crossings in our studios. She's on tour for her 15th album now, which is Slings and Arrows. We'd like to welcome to Washington, D.C., and to the Voice of America, Michelle Malone. Nice to have you here.
Hi, thanks for having us.
So you're the other Malone.
I am the Malone.
What are you talking about? There's another Malone out there.
No,
Post Malone.
No, there's not.
Right now. Well, we welcome you.
Thank you. Congratulations
on the album. And I understand you said you had some dark moments and some good moments as you put the album together, some not so good moments.
No, actually, the album's all great.
It's all great.
And bright, like shiny stars.
Like light never seen before.
No, I think what you're reading is about how I was inspired to write this record and the idea I had behind it. It's called Slings and Arrows, and my idea was that I wanted to use it as a tool to bring people back together through music, because I feel that music is able to transcend all these boundaries that we have put on ourselves and on society and whatnot, especially lately. So I thought this would be a nice intention to put on the record, to use it to bring people together instead of, you know, the division has gotten just ridiculous, not only in our country, but around the world. And it's not something I feel good about. And I want to feel good. And I know everybody wants to feel good. So that, you know, that light came out of the darkness. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what you mean.
Mm-hmm. And so the title, Slings and Arrows, when I first heard it, I thought country western or something. Slings.
No, you
and
didn't
arrows.
Think madrigal music from Shakespeare?
No.
I don't know. No, it has, you know, many connotations. I believe you can interpret it any way you like. And I don't always like to define everything for everyone, because I want them to have their own experience. So whatever you want it to mean there, Larry.
So what lane do you feel best in or most comfortable in? Because you've worked with quite a variety. Sean Mullins is on the new album. I guess you worked with him. And the Grateful Dead, you recorded something with them as well. And so you've done so many different things with so many different people.
Where am I most comfortable?
Yeah.
Behind a guitar.
Behind a guitar.
And I believe a guitar kind of fits in most genres. So, I don't really see it as little boxes. I see it as one big open world. I grew up in a musical family, and they played so many different types of music, and everything from music theater to opera to blues and jazz and, you know, Led Zeppelin. So I got a really great musical background to draw from.
Michelle Malone is with us. If you guys wouldn't mind doing a song, we'd like to hear some live music.
We'll do you some songs off this new record, Slings and Arrows. And this first one is called Sugar on My Tongue.
There you go.
It's sweet not tea. Called Sweet Tea. It's called Sugar on My Tongue, but you can think about Sweet Tea. Come on, Linda.
Roll me in your reins, 'cause I think I'm ready to surrender and commend my mess. Do you think you can treat me kind and tender? Treat me like I'm feeling the cure. Yes. Waving my white flag, 'cause I can't fight it anymore. Think I'm in my match. Can you hear me singing through your floor? I'm singing, ooh, hey, yeah. Ooh, hey. 'Cause you taste like sugar. I'm feeling the cure.
Sounded great.
Feels good.
Woo! Michelle Malone.
It's nice to get up and sing. It's nice to get up and play some music.
You sound great. I like your sound. I mean, blues and rock. I'm hearing a little bit of everything in there.
There's a little bit of everything in there.
Some Bonnie Raitt, some Sheryl Crow.
Well, you know, honestly, we all came up on the same music. Hmm. You know, I believe we all listen to the same stuff. I listened to a lot of classic rock growing up. You know, once I found guitar, that's really where I turned. And then those folks were influenced by their predecessors, and then so I followed the line backwards. I learned it from modern to the historical music. Mm.
That's a great perspective. I mean, that's healthy. That's very important. But I think for the young people who are listening to the radio today, it's all new. And I know you've worked with ZZ Top and the Allman Brothers and whatnot, so they're discovering those bands for the very first time.
And how wonderful for them.
Yes. It's a great time to be in music.
Yeah.
You know, and congratulations, as I said, on the success of 15 albums. That's must seem like forever. That's a lot of music.
I guess it is. I don't think about it. And I just try to keep forging ahead and besting myself. I try to raise the bar each time with my writing and my recording and really just do better for myself. Keep myself interested. impress me first. You know what I mean? I want to be able to enjoy what I'm doing every night, so I have to really like what I'm doing. Mm. And then in turn, I believe it will have that effect on others.
Right. So you're your hardest critic.
You have Absolutely. To, yeah. Aren't we all, really?
Yes, I guess. Yeah. Many people, yeah.
I think we are.
You started when you were four, singing in church?
Well, you're four when they allow you to get in the cherub choir, I think, mm-hmm. so... Yeah, I remember it well. It was a magical moment. Because I had always watched my mother and grandmother sing in the choir, and so I just couldn't wait to do it.
Mm-hmm. And I read that you also play saxophone and
well,
drums.
Well, when I was a little kid.
Uh-huh.
That's when I was eight. They let you be in the school band, and mm-hmm. and I chose saxophone because my mother had taken me to see this jazz group, and this man, I can't remember his name, but I won't... ever forget what he looked like. He was very dapper man, and he wore all these shiny rings, and he was just the coolest looking thing I'd ever seen. And then he got this horn out, and I don't think at that age I had ever seen a saxophone, and it just made quite an impression on me. So that's what I wanted to play. Hmm. And I did that, and I really enjoyed it, I likened myself as I got older, realized, you know, there's Sally Simpson on The Simpsons. And I went, well, yeah, I was that when I was her age. But then I discovered guitar when I was about 11. My brother had a guitar in his closet, and he told me I wasn't allowed to touch it. Mm-hmm. So, of course, I did every chance I got. And then he would, you know, slap me around and I'd do it again. So, hashtag Southern. So I needed to do it. Mm-hmm.
Songwriting, when did that start to come into your life? Teenager?
Yeah, I was a teenager. I was a terrible songwriter.
Really?
Yeah. I'm a late bloomer and I really learn everything by rote. I just keep doing it mm-hmm. until I either get it right or get close to getting it right.
So today, what's your favorite part of what you do? Is it the songwriting, the recording,
like performing.
The touring, the performing?
Yeah, this is my favorite part. I get to be with my friends, play some music, meet new folks, make new friends.
Now you're meeting a lot of folks right now around the world, some brand new friends. Can
I
we
love
meet
it.
The band? The
yes.
Band?
Okay, so over here on my left, Doug Keys on guitar. For those of you at home, he's playing Strat. To my immediate right, we have Reno Roberts on bass. He's from Fort Payne, Alabama. Woo! Give him a shout out. And then on drums, Linda Bowley from Detroit, Rock City.
Yeah.
That's where I'm from.
All right. Really?
Yeah, Southfield.
Right. Really?
Yeah.
I used to work an office job in Southfield.
Well, there you go. We'll tell some stories.
MetLife. Go MetLife.
There you go. There you go. Well, I love the band, and I know, you know, growing up in Atlanta, you're all the way through and through proud of Georgia, so much so that they made you a spokesperson for their tourism.
I was in a Georgia tourism commercial, yes, so I'm very proud of my Georgia roots. I'll be the poster child. I don't mind it.
I'm sure they're proud to have you, too, with all the great things that you've done and all the awards. I was looking at your collection of awards. They go on and on and on, and you were up for Grammys, consideration for Grammys a couple times.
I didn't get past the ballot part,
mm-hmm.
so I was on the Grammy ballot a couple of times, and I didn't get past the first selection part. So I was never actually up for a Grammy.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I was in the room, so to speak.
That's it. You were on the paper.
20 or 40 or 60 other people. I mean, that's something, considering how much music there is out there.
We're talking with Michelle Malone, Slings and Arrows, the name of the new album. Would you guys do another song for us?
Absolutely. I'm going to switch guitars here.
Okay.
Because
tell us
play
about
some
this song.
Slide. Well, I was thinking about this chasm, this divide that I spoke of earlier, and the way that people have been treating each other as of late, and I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. So I thought, well, let me unhook this. If people just loved themselves a little bit more, they might be able to love others a little bit more. And, you know, without getting too preachy and all, I attempted to write a song about it. Let's get my slide. And, oh, I love this guitar. And a pick. And so this song is called Love Yourself.
Love Yourself. Perfect.
Yeah. All right. I'll start this one, don't I? I'll do that then.
Nice. That's great. Michelle Malone is our guest. Slings and Arrows is the name of the new album, which is now available on iTunes, Amazon, everywhere you can buy an album.
My website.
And your website, which is?
MichelleMalone.com.
And you have your own record label.
I do.
You do?
I found that to be a necessity early on. And back when I started the label, it was considered to be more of a stepping stone to major labels. So, and then I had a couple major label deals, and then I went back to being independent because that's really more of my nature. Hashtag Southern.
And you have control in production because I know you're a producer too, so it's hard to give that control away to someone else.
I don't have a problem with it, honestly. And in fact, I enjoy turning the helm over to someone who, you know, we see eye to eye beforehand and have a common goal. But this time around, I decided I wanted to produce this record myself again. So it was a good decision, I believe. I like the way it turned out. It's very organic. And it went down very quickly in about 4 days. And, you know, then I spent 2 days overdubbing some things, and I'm real proud of it.
That's great.
I mean, thank you.
I was listening to some of the music from it. Sounds great. I mean, really, it's all a little bit different. Every song is not, I mean, it's not predictable. So I like that. And I had read somewhere where you'd said this is not really a concept album. It's not meant to be intended as a concept album.
Right. No. No, it was really the intention I set for myself because I felt that, I guess, after 14 records, I needed to set an intention and a goal to work towards in my writing so that I could actually get another record out of me. Does that make sense?
Sure, sure, absolutely.
I think it's like, I don't know, but I'm guessing if I were a novelist, I'd want to start with the title and work from there. Maybe write the ending first and then, so maybe that... That's a good parallel. Mm.
How have you seen yourself evolve in 15 albums? I mean, that's you know, a lot of music, and it's three decades.
Yeah, you know, I think I was a teenager when I started playing music live and writing and really just learning as I go, as I went, and so I've just grown a lot. I mean, think about how much you've grown since you were 20 years old, or 19, or 18, so it,
sure,
and it's reflected in my music. It's reflected in any artist's work, whether they're a painter or what have you.
You draw from experience, though.
Sure,
more experiences, more things to draw from.
And again, you know, I feel I'm a late bloomer, and it's taken me a while to really just come into myself and be completely comfortable in my skin. I feel really good right now.
And what you mentioned, the influences of this new album, we didn't have to deal with them 20 years ago, 30 years ago. And when you're 20, you're not thinking about the stuff that we're thinking about now without getting into any detail. But I think these things affect the world. I mean, you know, not only here in the U.S., these kinds of things that we're going through, the division and stuff like that. But we're glad that you're here putting music out.
Well, thank you.
You know, that's music. You never get enough music. Music's the international language. Do you do touring outside of the U.S. a lot?
A little bit. I'd like to do more. I've done several places in Europe, but I definitely want to do more. I'd like to go to all the continents. I'd like to go to some new places I've never been and really get to meet some new folks.
Mm-hmm. You need a bigger van, then.
I'm going to need a bigger bus.
Michelle Malone is our guest. We've got time for one more song.
Thanks. Okay.
What's this one?
I got one. This is the first song on the new record, and this is called Just Getting Started. And I think, best I recall, when I was writing it, I think I wrote it for myself first to convince myself that I could make another record. And so this is inspiration for me, but I hope it inspires others as well to maybe get off the couch and do something.
What's this called?
This is called Just Getting Started.
Moses led the people across the burning sand. Well, they come up to the Red Sea, but he lifted both his hands. Well, he looked to the left, he looked to the right. Well, he picked up his staff, hit the ground with all his might. Said you can't stop me now. Can't stop me now. Just you that I dreamed of a change. How one day we would all round up, rise up in love's name. But he picked up his left foot, then he picked up his right. And you started marching for an inalienable right. Since you can't stop me now, can't stop me now. Just getting started.
Michelle Malone, and it's Slings and Arrows, and people can get it on your website, which is
michellemalone.com.
And just get it. That's all that really matters. Thank you for coming on the show. It's great to meet you.
Thank you.
And to hear you here in person. I've heard your music on TV and, you know, some of the TV shows and films that your music's been featured in. So
a little bit.
It's a pleasure to meet you. Thank you guys all for coming in.
Thanks, you. Larry.
Michelle Malone, our guest, and Slings and Arrows is the name of the new CD. My name's Larry London, and this is Border Crossings. Hi, I'm Larry London, and welcome to Border Crossings. On our show today, she's out on the road promoting a brand new song and some upcoming new music for her next album. Risa Binder is here in Washington, D.C., and joins us on The Voice of America. Risa, nice to have you here.
Thank you for having us. Jumping all around.
This is exciting stuff.
I know.
And so it's country music for you, but you're not a country girl. You grew up in Columbia, Maryland, which is very close to where I live.
Oh, yeah.
I live in Olney, which is not too far from Columbia, home of Meriwether Post Pavilion.
That's
and
whatnot. Right.
So, I mean, how did you get into country music?
Well, I grew up in the theater, actually, theater here in D.C. and Maryland, and I always wrote songs about boys I had crushes on, which is true. Yeah. But the songs would always come out sounding country-like. And so after college, I started to make trips to Nashville, Tennessee, and I fell in love. There's a place called the Bluebird Cafe, and it is a place where songwriters go, and they sit in a circle facing each other, and they sing their hit songs, and everyone else is kind of on the outside looking in. And I went on a night that was all Garth Brooks writers, but not Garth Brooks. So I heard the writers sing the hits, mm-hmm. and that changed my whole world. And I thought, how can I do that? I want to learn how to do that.
Wow.
And so I would just started to make trips to Nashville from New York. I jumped around quite a bit and started to make a record. I was a waitress in Brooklyn and would get all my money.
You did it all.
And make my way to Nashville and start to learn how to write songs. Mm. And the community of songwriting in Nashville is amazing. And I almost feel like it's the Olympics there, kind of, you know, everyone's trying to get that gold medal. And you just learn a lot and soak it all up.
The Bluebird Cafe, it's interesting you mentioned that. Taylor Swift was there about a week or so ago.
She did a surprise show there.
Yes.
I know.
Yes, exactly. Now, it's got to be a different vibe everywhere you go. I mean, Columbia, Maryland isn't the epicenter of music as far as I know. But then there's Brooklyn, mm-hmm. which again, that's a place where music is. And then Nashville is Music City.
All three are so different. Growing up in Columbia, I live in a vibrant arts community. And so I just so thankful for my teachers and the people who, like, you know, told you to pursue your dreams. Mm-hmm. And so Columbia gave me that base. And then New York, it is just brewing with inspiration. You know, I love people, and so I was the girl sitting on the subway kind of staring at people, making up stories about who they, you know, that's where I find inspiration for songs. Mm-hmm. And so New York has that amazing electric energy, and then Nashville has a more laid-back vibe where I feel like your brain can kind of open up and you can find a nice coffee shop and meet some people and write some songs. It's just a whole different vibe there.
Mm-hmm. Are you happy and settled in Nashville, or do you have another destination in mind?
I'm settled in Nashville at the moment. I'm definitely a gypsy. I jump around quite a bit, but I'll be there for a little while for sure.
And what is it that took you from acting and the stage to music? Why did you decide this is going to be the focus?
I kind of love doing both. I still sort of actually do both. Music is storytelling. Music is acting in a way to me. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you come up with that story and then you have to connect with the audience with it. And so I feel like I'm using my degree in college to connect with people through music.
Did you go to Frostburg?
I went to University of Maryland.
Oh!
But last night was so fun. No, I didn't go to Frostburg. We had a blast. Mm-hmm. They were a lovely audience, and it was my my first show back after being a new mom.
What was your major at Maryland?
Theater.
Perfect. Well, hopefully you get back into some acting.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You do some movies and, mm-hmm. and things like that.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to have you do some music since you got the whole band here.
I would love that. I'm so happy they're here. This song is called U-Haul, and it's my favorite breakup song that I wrote.
We'll start with a breakup song.
Okay, let's do it. We'll pack it up. In a U-Haul, baby, where you're going doesn't matter at all. I've had enough for too long. Every trip to the truck gets you closer to gone. Babe, I'll pack it up now, U-Haul. Come on! Your dirty dishes from last week, they won't be piled in the kitchen sink. Throw in your tools and clothes on the lawn. All my girls getting all drinking, packing, party on. We'll pack it up in a U-Haul. Baby, where you're going doesn't matter at all. I've had enough for too long. Every trip to the truck gets you closer to gone. Babe, I'll pack it up. Now Petty told me he wanted to fly, so we're playing frisbee with your 45s. Your poker table, your Xbox, that ugly lava lamp I accidentally dropped. We'll pack it up in a U-Haul. Baby, where you're going doesn't matter at all. I've had enough for too long. Every trip to the truck gets you closer to gone. Posters, I don't need your toaster. I'm getting off this roller coaster. We'll pack it up in a U-Haul. Baby, where you're going doesn't matter at all. I've had enough for too long. Every trip to the truck gets you closer to gone. We'll pack it up in a U-Haul. Get you closer to gone. Babe, I'll pack it up now, you haul. Babe, I'll pack it up now, you haul. Babe, I'll pack it up now, you
haul. Yeah! Risa Binder and the gang! Yeah. Woohoo! Gotta have a U-Haul if you're gonna sing country music. It's gotta be.
That's right.
Breakups and U-Hauls.
That's right.
There you go. Risa's on the road right now promoting some brand new music. Now, we were talking before about you have 8 or 9 songs already recorded, ready to go.
Yes. So I work in Nashville with a producer named Luke Wooten, and he is unbelievable. He's worked with Dierks Bentley and Kelly Pickler and Brad Paisley. He just did the last 2 Brad Paisley records. And so I have an EP out now called Nashville that we worked on together. And we just had so much fun in the studio. Let's do another one. And so we're about 8, 9 songs into the next record. Mm-hmm. U-Haul will be on that. Mm. And actually, U-Haul is out now on Spotify and things like that. So we've been releasing some as singles, if that makes sense. We're just having a blast in the studio.
Do you have any titles for your debut album, full studio album?
I don't know. It may be our next song. Maybe You Came Along. I'm not sure yet. It's kind of throwing out ideas. So
That's great. Yeah. And so when you are writing, where do you find that you get inspiration from? Because you mentioned ex-boyfriends and things like that. So where these days, because I know you're a new mom.
I'm a new mom.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Just 2 months in right now.
2 months in.
So 2 months of no sleep. And so,
that's
so
right.
Maybe the album should be called No Sleep.
That would
and
be
maybe
actually,
write a song about your new baby.
That's so truthful. The next song we're going to do, it is about her, actually, which we'll talk about for sure. My inspiration kind of comes from everywhere. I love people. I love truthful stories. And so I don't know about you, but like when I love to write, I'll put titles in my phone or write them on a piece of paper. Just titles come to me first. Mm-hmm. So I have these titles. And then from there, it kind of chunks out. I'll get a chorus first. And it'll keep going over and over again in my head. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that'll work. And then for me, verses come later. So it's just kind of a different.
Have you always written country music? Or did you notice that you had to do something different from what you were doing to make it for a country audience?
I always wrote songs that were truthful to me. And they're either about me or friends of mine. Mm-hmm. And so my very first record I made called Paper Heart, which is online, you can find it. It was more in the pop vein. But the raw, if you listen to the demo tapes of them, it did sound like it was going in a country direction, but we kind of brought in some pop sounds and things like that, which was so fun to do. And then, you know, this next one, it just felt really natural to move into this vibe that we have now.
And so, I mean, do you sing to your baby?
Oh, every day. I sing things like, you know, good morning, every morning. So I want to make sure she gets as much music as possible.
Are you going to encourage her to go into music or in the arts?
Absolutely. I want her to do whatever her little teeny heart desires.
What's her name?
Her name is Liel.
Liel. I like that.
Oh, thank you.
Very, very. That's a beautiful name.
This new single. And the single, which we'll sing in a minute, is called You Came Along. And you know, it's funny. I recorded it before Liel came into the world, but I didn't know it was about love in general. And then when she was here, I was like, guys, this is about her. And so we just made a music video for it, which isn't even out yet. And I got to have her in it. She was 3 weeks old when we did it. And so I cannot wait to show that video off once it comes out. The tour that we're working on now that we're creating is promoting this next single, You Came Along. And
well, you got us very excited now to hear it. So
now
the suspense has built.
Oh, no.
So it's time to hear the song. Risa Binder is our guest here on Border Crossings.
Cool. One more time around.
Thought every picture was painted, finest wine in the world was tasted, every wild ride was written, no idea what I was missing. Thought every note had been sung, thought every melody hung, every chord had been strung. Just when I thought every song had been written, just when I seen the glow of a perfect night, till I looked into your eyes. Thought every touch had been touched, till I wanted yours so much. Yeah, I thought I knew love.
sound. I like your voice. Very nice.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, Risa Binder is here in our studios with the guys. Can we meet the guys?
Please, let's meet the guys. Of course. Over here on Cajon, I have Heath Ledbetter. Yay! Give it a free. And over here on guitar and vocals, we have Aaron LeGrone.
Hello,
hello. And then over here on bass, we have Matt O'Donnell.
Hey.
And I'm just so thankful to have them with me.
Sounding great. Now, I'm sure when you do the show on stage as a performance, it sounds different than what we're hearing. This is the kind of the acoustic version.
This is the acoustic version. Absolutely. Yes, yes, yes.
It's a big party with Risa Binder on
stage. It is. Absolutely. Last night, we had full drums. And sometimes, you know, depending on the size of the show, we have two guitars. We have another vocalist. It gets bigger, smaller. All that kind of good stuff.
And so being a local girl, I'm sure it's surreal if you haven't already, the thought of playing Meriwether Post, I mean, which is in Columbia where you grew up.
That's true. You know, I've played their Wine in the Woods Festival for about 6 years I played it. And so, yes, I always think about being on that main stage. That would be amazing.
Back home. Everybody back home. Their family still live here?
They do. My parents. Yes, we were just there last night and spent the night
and
there.
And your grandmother was a big influence on you growing up?
Oh, yeah. My Nana. Yes, she is and was. She's a painter and a belly dancer. And just a wonderful woman. So, yeah, absolutely. Grew
up. That's great. Family's obviously very important to you.
It is.
So from what I was reading, what is a dream wall?
Oh.
You have a dream wall at home? What is a dream wall?
I do. I'm a big believer in focusing on what it is you want and maybe cutting out those images of what it is, putting it up where you can physically see it. Because our careers as artists are entrepreneurial or our own made. You know, we don't get a report card, really. Sometimes I wish we did. Uh-huh. But I'm a very structured person, and so I need to kind of see where I want to go. So I'll basically cut out things like maybe a picture of a huge festival that I want to play, put it on my wall, a tour bus, which is a totally crazy thing because I did that. I put up a picture of a tour bus when I first moved to Nashville. And a year later, that exact tour bus that I put on my wall pulled up to take me on tour with my band to open for Ronnie Millsap, which I did for about a year. And so there's a power behind what your mind wants to see and putting it up and staring at it and working towards that. And eventually, I would say on my wall, maybe 80% of what I put up actually does happen. Not 100%, but pretty close, which is crazy.
You got to keep putting Grammys up.
That's I know. That'd be amazing. It definitely is my my compass of where I want to go.
And so you mentioned you opened for Ronnie Millsap. You also opened for James Taylor.
I did.
So did you meet them? Did they talk to you?
Oh,
did,
yes.
Any advice, conversations?
Oh, my gosh. I have an embarrassing story about James Taylor I can share.
Okay, all right.
I opened up for him at the Sunfest in West Palm Beach, and I didn't know that he would be there at my sound check, but he was. He sound checked before me, which was crazy. He was singing Baby James, and I was beside myself. And I thought, you know, we took a picture together, and I thought, if that was it, that was amazing. After my set, I get really jazzed, as you can probably tell. I am so excited to do this. After my set, I hugged the bouncer, okay, on stage, and he was like, cool. And I go to walk down the stairs, and James Taylor is walking towards me. And so I had to hold on to a stranger. I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. And he's like, hey, Risa, you know, really great job. How is it out there tonight? And the only thing I could think of to say was that it was windy. Because it's an open air stage. He's like, it's windy, really? It's windy? And apparently he doesn't like wind. Completely. And I'm like, but they're going to love you out there. And I was wondering. It was hilarious and just a memory I'll never forget, obviously. So that was my James Taylor story. My Ronnie Millsap story is we had the wonderful fortune of getting to, no pressure, but when I was in Nashville, maybe I lived there for 2 years, my manager at the time knew Ronnie's manager, and he was like, you know, Ronnie may be looking for an opening act, and he's getting inducted into the Hall of Fame tonight, so why don't you open for him there, and if he likes you, he'll decide then if he'll take you on the road. And so, no pressure, okay? And so we sang, we did a set, and this is more of that dream wall thing, okay? Mm-hmm. Because we did a set, and at the end he goes, you know, basically he's like, let's do 6 or 7 shows together. Our 7th show was in Florida, and it was snowing in Nashville, and Nashville doesn't do snow well, just let's be honest. And so all of the flights got canceled. Our flights got canceled. Matt was a part of this ordeal. And we went downstairs to the car rental place and rented it. Quick thinking, let's rent a van. drive to Atlanta, try to get flights out of Atlanta. As we're just making our way out to Atlanta, just maybe 20 minutes outside of Nashville, all those flights get canceled. This is the tour bus story. And I had a sub drummer, his name's Mitch White at the time, and he's like, you know, I could make one phone call. Have you ever thought about a tour bus? And I was like, I don't know if I can afford that. He makes a phone call. One bus left in Nashville. One bus. And that because Stephen Curtis Chapman...
Yeah, it didn't go because they were snowed out. They were snowed out in like Chicago or something like that.
And they said, if you turn around right now, we'll meet you at the airport at midnight and we will drive you to Florida. And the money that I had in my purse to pay my players...
Right.
Oh, sorry. Was the money that it cost to make this happen. And so it was just insane. So this tour bus pulls up and it is the tour bus. That's my husband and I were like... That's the exact tour bus. It's that bus.
Wow.
And so we get on the bus, and I was so relieved. I slept for 16 hours straight. Jordan, I did on that tour bus. That was my first tour bus experience. And we got to Florida in time. This is the end of that story. We get to Florida. We do the show. And that particular show, Ronnie was sitting in the wings. And I remember Matt ran out. After our set, I was selling my own merch at the time. I was So here I am like, who wants a t-shirt? And Matt goes, hey, did you hear what Ronnie just said? He asked what the audience thought of the opener, and they liked us enough that Ronnie said, come with us as long as you want. If we had missed that show and not taken that tour bus, that would have never happened. So we were able to open for him for the full year because of that day.
Close to 18 months.
The
difference between 8 weeks and 18 months was...
Huge. just to be honest, there was, you know, someone in our camp that day that was like, you should cancel. You're never going to make it there. And I'm like, we don't cancel. We're going to figure out how to get to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And we did.
Wow.
And so that's I feel like that's the part of show business that not a lot of people maybe talk about, because see, you know, this thing
behind the scenes stories.
But how much work it took to get to that 20-minute set in Florida, or 30-minute set in Florida, was a lot of work, but very rewarding.
It sounds like a song. I mean, there sounds like must be a song in that story.
There,
you can
you're
turn
right.
something out of that story into some music, and then share the royalties with Ronnie.
That'd be amazing. He's so phenomenal.
We've got Risa Binder here, and you have another story, interesting story, all about interesting stories. Beth Nielsen Chapman. There's an interesting story there.
Oh my gosh, I love this. So I'm a huge believer in signs. I don't know. Do you guys believe in signs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Stop signs, yield signs.
Yield signs. Well, just that signs kind of guide you. Things are meant to be. And
serendipity.
Serendipity. And so this was my sign. So I, my label, Warehouse Records, was like, you know, you should probably move to Nashville now. It's time. And so I was on a flight from New York to Nashville, not sure when or if I was moving there. And I just kind of said a prayer. If I'm supposed to move to Nashville, God, could you hit me over the head with a sign? I really need a sign. And there were two seats left on the plane. And I ended up sitting next to a woman named Beth Nielsen Chapman, who is an incredible songwriter, who wrote This Kiss for Faith Hill and Happy Girl for Martina McBride. Just, the list goes on and on.
She had her own hits, too.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And so she's on her computer, and I'm like, it says Beth Chapman. I was being, I guess, kind of nosy, and I'm like, are you Beth Nielsen Chapman? She's like, yeah. I'm like, tell me about your life. We had a wonderful talk, and when the flight lands, she's like, can you help me grab my guitar? And her guitar case, she put it over her shoulder and starts to walk off the plane, and her guitar case right in front of me just said Faith in big words on it. About 2 months later, we exchanged numbers, and she called me and said, do you want to be my guest at the Bluebird? And so the first time that I got to sing at the Bluebird was with her.
Wow.
So, yeah.
What a debut there, huh?
She announced me and was like, I met this chick on a plane. I was like, I can't believe this happened. My husband, Jordan, was in the audience. We were both in tears. I'm emotional right now talking about it, because I went to the Bluebird for so many years thinking, I don't know when it'll be my turn to play. And
sure.
I don't normally get nervous on stage. I feel like I'm having a conversation in my living room with friends.
Mm-hmm.
But sitting in that circle, I was so nervous. Because of the people who had sat there before me.
Sure.
And so, yeah.
That conversation could have gone another direction. She could have called security and said, get this lady out of here.
This lady's
a whack. But instead, it worked out.
That's
great.
Beautifully.
That's happy endings, which is what we love.
Yes.
All right. So if you got another song, we would love to hear some more live music.
I would love to play it. Actually, this song was inspired through dream boards. It's about following your dreams, no matter how hard, no matter what they are. that they're placed in your heart for a reason, and you have to follow them no matter what. And so this song is called Light It Up.
There is a spark that's been lit in my heart, and I follow it every day. But the wanting, the waiting, the anticipating can drive anyone insane when we're always hearing no, no, no. But you gotta let it go. I said, hey, all you dreamers, all you starry eyed believers, who you are is enough.
My name is Larry London. Thank you so much, Michelle Malone and Risa Binder, for joining us on Border Crossings today. It's always great to bring in these superstar music makers and to hear more about their lives, their careers, and, of course, their latest music projects. Michelle Malone and Risa Binder, our guests today on Border Crossings. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks to Vince for putting together today's show, and we'll be back to requests and dedications on tomorrow's program. So please come back. Don't forget, the email address is bordercrossings@voa.gov, and you can always go to facebook.com/VOA Larry London. Have a great evening, and I'll catch you tomorrow. Border Crossings will return at 1500 Universal on the VOA1 Music Network.